Besides being elite members of the cavalry, trusted officers or sisters of the light, every person there except Jensen and Sebastian had one essential thing in common. They knew the Mother Confessor by sight. From what Jensen was able to gather, the Mother Confessor had led raids on the Order's camp and had been at battles where she had been seen by a number of the men as well as the sisters. All those chosen to ride into Adendril with the Emperor had to know the Mother Confessor by sight. Jagang didn't want her slipping out of their snare by hiding in crowds of people or escaping by pretending to be a lowly washwoman. Such a worry had evaporated in the light of what they had so far found. Chilled not only by the breeze, but by the lust for battle gleaming in the soldier's eyes, Jensen gripped the horn of her saddle tight in an attempt to make her hands stop trembling. Jensen. For the 100th time that morning, she checked that her knife was clear in its scabbard. After reassuring herself, she pressed it back down, feeling the satisfying metallic click as it seated. She was there with the army because she was a part of this, with a job to do. Surrender. She thought about the irony of how this was the very knife that Lord Rawl had given a man he sent to kill her. And now she was bringing that same knife, a thing close to him, back to defeat him. At last she was the hunter, and not the hunted. Whenever she felt her courage waver, she had but to think of her mother, or Althea and Friedrich, or Althea's sister Lathea, or even Jensen's unknown half-brother, the Rog Moss healer Drayfan. So many lives had been ruined or forfeit because of the House of Rawl, because of Lord Rawl, first her father, Darkin Rawl, and now her half-brother, Richard Rawl. Surrender your will, Jensen. Surrender your flesh. Leave me be, she snapped, annoyed that the voice wouldn't leave her alone, and at having to repeat it so often when she had important things on her mind. Sebastian frowned over at her. What? Chagrined that she had inadvertently said it aloud this time, Jensen simply shook her head as if to say it was nothing. He turned back to his own thoughts as he watched the city spread out before them, studying the imposing maze of tight buildings, streets, and alleyways. There was only one thing missing from the city, and that had everyone tense and jumpy. From the corner of her eye, Jensen saw the sisters all whispering among themselves, all except one, Sister Perdita, the one in the dark gray dress and the salt and pepper hair loosely tied back. When their eyes met, the woman smiled in that knowing, self-satisfied smirk of hers that seemed able to look right into Jensen's soul. Jensen thought that it probably looked different to her than the woman intended, so she bowed her head slightly in acknowledgement and smiled all the smile she could muster before turning away. Along with everyone else, Jensen watched the palace in the distance, on a hill overlooking the city. It was hard not to look at it, the way it stood out against the gray walls of mountains, like snow on slate. Tall windows fronted the building between towering white marble columns topped with gold capitals. To the rear, at the center, a domed roof with a belt of windows rose up well clear of the high walls. Jensen had trouble reconciling the splendor of such a beautiful building with the wicked rule of the Mother Confessor. The sinister specter of the Wizard's Keep, high up on a mountain behind the palace, seemed like it would be more fitting for the Mother Confessor. Jensen noticed that no one liked looking up at that baleful place. Their eyes were always quick to turn to less unnerving sights. The keep watching down on them was larger than any man-made thing Jensen had ever seen, save the People's Palace in Dahara. Ragged gray clouds floated past dark stone exterior walls that soared to staggering heights. The keep itself, behind those lofty walls, appeared to be a complex collection of battlements, ramparts, crenellated walls, towers, spires, and connecting bridges and walkways. Jensen had never imagined that anything made of stone could look so alive with menace. In the quiet, her gaze sought solace in Sebastian's spikes of white hair, his knowing eyes, the familiar contours of his face. His handsome features were comforting to her, even if he didn't look her way. What woman wouldn't be honored to have the love of a man like him? If not for him being there with her since her mother's death, Jensen didn't know what she would have done, how she would have gotten by. Sebastian wore his cloak laid back to expose some of his weapons. He surveyed the scene with studied calm. She wished she could feel so calm. It frightened her, unexpectedly, to contemplate him having to draw those weapons, of him having to fight for his life. "What do you think?" she whispered as she leaned closer to him. "What could it mean?" He gave her a brief shake of his head along with a harsh glance. He didn't want to discuss it. That curt gesture told her that she was supposed to be quiet. She had known, of course, by the silence of tens of thousands of men right behind her, that she was supposed to be quiet. But the anxiety was twisting her insides into a knot. She had only wanted a small token of reassurance. Instead, his abrupt snub cut her down, making her feel like a small nobody. She knew that he had important things on his mind, but his brusque dismissal still stung like a slap, especially after the night before when he had so desperately wanted her comfort, wanted her as fiercely as he had ever wanted her. She had understood. She hadn't turned him away, even though she found it distressing that they weren't alone but had guards standing right outside who she suspected could hear everything. Of course, she knew that this was not the time or place he could afford to give her comfort. They were all on the brink of battle. Still, it hurt. Over the sound of the wind moaning through the bare branches of majestic mature maple trees lining the road, she picked up the sound of hooves at a gallop. All eyes turned to watch bearded, long-haired men, streamers of fur and hides trailing out behind as they hunched forward over their horses' withers, charging in from the road on the right. Jensen recognized them by the lead horse's patchy white pied coloration. They were one of the small reconnoitering parties the Emperor had sent ahead hours before. In the distance to west, their counterpart was returning from the opposite direction, but they were yet tiny specks riding down out of the far foothills. As the first group of horsemen came storming in before the Emperor and his advisors, Jensen covered her mouth with the edge of her cloak to mask her coughing on the cloud of dust. The husky man at the lead of the riders pulled his pied horse around. His greasy strings of hair whipped around like the horse's white tail. "Nothing, Excellency." Jigang, looking in a foul mood and near the end of his patience, shifted his weight in the saddle. "Nothing?" "No, Excellency, nothing. No sign of troops anywhere to the east or on the far side of the city, or all the way up the slopes of the mountains. Nothing. The roads, the trails, all deserted. No people, no tracks, no horse dung, no wagon ruts, nothing. We could find no sign that anyone has been here for a good long time." The man went on with a detailed account of where they had looked, but without result, as the other knot of men thundered in from the west, their horses lathered and in a high state of excitement. "No one," the man at the front called out as he hauled in on the reins, laying his horse's head over. The horse, eyes wild and keyed up from the hard ride, pivoted around to a halt before the Emperor, snorting through flared nostrils. "Excellency, there are no troops, or anyone, to the west." Jigang glared at the confessor's palace. "What about the road up to the keep?" he asked in a quiet growl. "Or are you going to tell me that my scouts and patrols were ambushed by the ghosts of all the vanished people?" The brawny man, layered in hides, looked as fierce as anyone Jensen had ever seen. His top teeth were missing, adding to his savage aspect. He cast a cautious look back up at the wide ribbon of road that wound its way up from the city toward the wizard's keep. He turned back to the Emperor.
"Excellency, there were no tracks on the road up to the keep, either."
"Did you go all the way up to the keep to check?"
he asked, his dark gaze turning on the man. The man swallowed under the hot scrutiny of Jigang's glower.
"There is a stone bridge not far from the top that crosses a great crevasse. We went that far, Excellency, but saw no one nor any tracks. The portcullis was lowered. Beyond, the keep showed no sign of life." That means nothing.
A woman not far behind scoffed. Jensen turned along with Sebastian, most of the advisors, officers, and Jagang to look at her. It was Sister Perdita who had spoken. At least she managed to keep most of the superior smirk off her face as everyone stared at her.
It means nothing, she repeated. I'm telling you, Excellency, I don't like this one bit. Something is wrong.
Something? Like what?
Jagang asked, his voice low and surly. Sister Perdita left the company of several dozen Sisters of the Light and walked her horse forward to speak more privately to the Emperor.
Excellency, she said only after she was close, have you ever walked into a wood and realized that there were no sounds when there should be, that it had suddenly gone quiet?
Jensen had. She was struck by how accurately the Sister had hit upon the peculiar uneasy feeling she was having, a kind of portent to doom, yet without definable cause, that made the fine hairs at the back of her neck stand on end, like when she would be lying in her bedroll, almost asleep, and every insect all at once went silent. Jagang glared at Sister Perdita.
When I walk into a wood or anywhere, it always goes silent.
The Sister didn't argue, but simply started over.
Excellency, we have fought these people long and hard. Those of us with the gift know their tricks with magic. We know when they are using their gift. We've learned to know if they've used magic to set traps, even if those traps are not themselves magic. But this is different. Something is wrong.
You still have not told me what,
Jagang said with restrained, impatient irritation, as if he didn't have time for someone who wouldn't come to the point. The woman, noting his annoyance, bowed her head.
Excellency, I would tell you if I knew. It is my duty to advise you of what I know. We can detect no magic being used, none. We sense no traps that have ever been touched by the gift. But that knowledge still does not set my mind at ease. Something is wrong. I'm telling you now my warning, even though I admit that I don't know the cause for my concern. You have but to search my mind for yourself, and you will see I'm speaking the truth.
Jensen had no idea what the Sister meant, but after staring at her for a moment, Jagang visibly cooled. He grunted dismissively as he looked back toward the palace.
I think you're just nervous after a long, idle winter, Sister. As you said, you know their tactics and tricks with magic, so if it was something real, you and your sisters would know it and know the cause.
I'm not sure that's true, Sister Perdita pressed.
She cast a quick, troubled glance at the wizard's keep up on the mountain.
Excellency, we know a great deal about magic, but the keep is thousands of years old. Being from the old world, that place is outside my experience. I know next to nothing about the specific kinds of magic which are likely to be kept in that place, except that whatever magic is kept there will be dangerous in the extreme. That is one purpose of a keep, to safeguard such things.
That's why I want the keep taken, Jagang shot back. Those dangerous things must not be left in the enemy's hands to later deal us murder.
With her fingertips, Sister Perdita patiently rubbed the creases in her brow.
The keep is strongly warded. I can't tell how. The wards were set by wizards, not sorceresses. Such wards could easily have been left untended. No one needs stand guard. Such wards can be triggered by simple trespass, much as with any trap without magic. Such wards can be cautionary, but just as likely they can be deadly. Even if the place is deserted, those wards could easily kill anyone, anyone, who so much as tries to get close, much less takes the place. Such defensive measures are timeless. They do not wear away. They are just as effective whether they've been there for a month or a millennia. The attempt to take a place so warded could deal us the murder we are trying to avoid.
Jagang nodded as he listened.
We still must untangle those wards so we can gain the keep.
Sister Perdita glanced over her shoulder at the dark stone keep far up on the mountainside before she spoke.
Excellency, as I have often tried to explain, our degree of ability and aggregate power doesn't mean we can untangle or defeat those wards. Such a thing is not directly relational. A bear, strong as he is, can't open a lock on a strong box. Strength isn't necessarily the key to such things. I'm telling you that I don't like this, that something is wrong.
You have told me only that you are afraid. Of all those with magic, the sisters are exceptionally well armed. That is the reason you are here.
Jigang leaned toward the woman, his patience appearing to be at an end.
I expect the sisters to stop any threat from magic. Must I make it any more clear?
Sister Perdita paled. No, Excellency. After a bow from her saddle, she pulled her horse around to rejoin her sisters.
Sister Perdita!
Jigang called after her. He waited until she turned back.
As I've told you before, we must gain the wizard's keep. I don't care how many of you it takes, only that it gets done.
As she returned to her sisters to discuss the matter, Jigang, along with everyone else, caught sight of a lone rider racing toward them from the city. Something about the look on the man's face had everyone checking their weapons. They all waited in tense silence until his horse skidded to a stop before the emperor. The man was drenched in sweat, and his narrow-set eyes were wide with excitement, but he kept his voice under control.
Excellency, I saw no one in the city, but I smelled horses.
Jensen saw apprehension etched on the faces of the officers at this further confirmation of their disbelief of the preposterous notion that the city was deserted. The order had driven the enemy forces to Adendrill as winter had descended, trapping not only the army but the people of the city as well. How a place this large could be evacuated in the dead of winter was beyond their imagination. Yet no one seemed willing to voice that conviction too strongly to the emperor as he stared out upon an empty city.
Horses? Jigang frowned. Maybe it was a stable.
No, Excellency, I could not find them nor hear them, but I could smell them. It was not the smell of a stable, but horses. There are horses there.
Then the enemy is here, just as we thought,
one of the officers said to Jigang.
They're hiding, but they're here.
Jigang said nothing as he waited for the man to go on.
Excellency, there is more,
the burly soldier said, nearly bursting with excitement.
As I searched, I could not find the horses anywhere, so I decided to return for more men to help ferret out the cowardly enemy. As I was returning, I saw someone in a window of the palace.
Jigang's gaze abruptly turned to the man.
What?
The soldier pointed.
In the White Palace, Excellency, as I rode out from behind a wall at the edge of the city before the palace grounds, I saw someone on the second floor move away from a window.
With an angry yank on the reins, Jigang checked his stallion's impatient sidesteps.
Are you sure?
The man nodded vigorously.
Yes, Excellency. The windows there are tall. On my life, just as I came out from behind the wall and looked up, someone saw me and moved back from a window.
The emperor peered intently up the road lined with maple trees toward the palace as he considered this new development.
Man or woman? Sebastian asked.
The rider paused to wipe sweat from his eyes and to swallow in an effort to catch his breath.
It was the briefest look, but I believe it was a woman.
Jigang turned his dark glare on the man.
Was it her?
The maple branches clattered together in the gusts as all eyes watched the man.
Excellency, I could not tell for certain. It might have been a reflection of the light on the window, but in that brief look, I thought I saw that she was wearing a long white dress.
The Mother Confessor wore a white dress. Jensen thought it was pretty far-fetched to believe it could be a coincidence that there would be a reflection on the glass right as a person moved away from the window, a reflection that made it look like they were wearing the white dress of the Mother Confessor. Yet it made no sense to Jensen. Why would the Mother Confessor be alone in her palace? Making a last stand was one thing. Making it alone was quite another. Could it be, as the man suggested, that the enemy was cowardly and hiding? Sebastian idly tapped a finger against his thigh.
I wonder what they're up to.
Jigang drew his sword.
I guess we'll find out.
He looked then at Jensen.
Keep that knife of yours handy, girl. This may be the day you've been praying for.
But, Excellency, how could it possibly?
The Emperor stood up in his stirrups and flashed a wicked grin back to his cavalry. He circled his sword high in the air. The coiled spring was unleashed. With a deafening roar, 40,000 men loosed a pent-up battle cry as they charged away. Jensen gasped and held on to Rusty for dear life as the horse leaped into a gallop ahead of the cavalry, racing toward the palace. Chapter 47. Nearly out of breath, Jensen bent forward over Rusty, stretching her arms out to each side of the horse's neck to give her all the range she needed as they charged at a full gallop out of the fringes of the countryside toward the sprawling city of Adendrill. The roar of 40,000 men yelling battle cries along with the thundering hooves was as frightening as it was deafening. Yet the rush of it all, the heart-pounding sensation of wild abandon, was also intoxicating. Not that she didn't grasp the enormity, the horror of what was happening, but some small part of her couldn't help being swept up with the intense emotion of being a part of it all. Fierce men with blood lust in their eyes fanned out to the sides as they raced ahead. The air seemed alive with light flashing off all the swords and axes held high, the sharpened points of lances and pikes piercing the muted morning air. The scintillating sights, the swell of sounds, the swirling passions, all filled Jensen with the hunger to draw her knife, but she didn't. She knew the time would come. Sebastian rode near her, making sure she was safe and didn't become lost in the crazy, headlong, willful stampede. The voice rode with her, too, and would not remain silent, despite how she tried to ignore it or begged in her mind for it to leave her be. She needed to focus on what was happening, on what might soon happen. She couldn't afford the distraction. Not now. As it called her name, called for her to surrender her will, to surrender her flesh, called to her in mysterious but strangely seductive words, the surrounding roar of masking sound gave Jensen the anonymity to finally scream at the top of her lungs, "Let me be! Leave me alone!" without anyone noticing it. It was a heady purification to be able to banish the voice with such unrestrained force and authority. In what seemed an instant, they suddenly plunged into the city, leaping over fences, skirting poles, and flying past buildings with bewildering speed. With the way they had been in the open and then abruptly had to deal with all the things around them, it reminded her of racing into a stand of woods. The wild charge was not what she had imagined it would be, an ordered, marshaled run across open ground, but instead was a mad dash through a great city, along wide thoroughfares lined with magnificent buildings, then veering suddenly down dark canyon-like alleys made of tall stone walls that in some places bridged the narrow slice of open sky overhead, and then abruptly impetuous dashes through warrens of narrow twisting side streets among ancient windowless buildings laid out in no design. There was no slowing for deliberation or decision, but rather, it was one long, reckless, relentless rush. It was made all the more surreal because there were no people anywhere. There should have been crowds scattering in wild panic, diving out of the way, screaming. In her mind's eye, she overlaid scenes she had seen in cities before. Peddlers pushing carts with everything from fish to fine linen. Shopkeepers outside their businesses tending to tables of bread, cheese, meat, wine. Craftsmen displaying shoes, clothes, wigs, and leather goods, windows filled with wares. Now all those windows were strangely empty, some boarded up, some just left as if the owner would be opening any minute. All the windows lining their route stood empty. Streets, benches, parks were mute witness to the onslaught of cavalry. It was frightening to charge at full speed through the convoluted maze of streets, cutting around buildings and obstacles, dashing down dirt alleyways, flying at full speed along curving cobblestone roads, cresting rises only to plummet down the far side like some bizarre, headlong, out-of-control snow sled ride, plunging down an icy hill through the trees and just as dangerous. Sometimes, as they galloped half a dozen abreast,
the way suddenly narrowed with a wall or a corner of a building that stuck out. More than one rider went down with calamitous results. Buildings, colors, fences, poles, and intersecting streets flashed by in dizzying array. Without the resistance of an enemy force, the unbridled rush fell to Jensen like it was out of all control. Yet she knew that these were the elite cavalry, so a wanton charge was their specialty. Besides, Emperor Jagang looked in complete control atop his magnificent stallion. The horses kicked up a shower of sod as they suddenly broke past a wide opening in a wall to find themselves charging up the expansive lawns of the confessor's palace. The fury of yelling riders spread out to each side, their horses tearing up the picturesque setting, the crude and filthy bloodthirsty invaders defiling the deceptively serene beauty of the grounds. Jensen rode beside Sebastian, not far behind the Emperor and several of his officers, between widespread flanks of howling men, straight up the wide promenade lined with mature maple trees, their bare branches, heavy with buds, laced together overhead. Despite everything she had learned, everything she knew, everything she held dear, Jensen couldn't understand why she felt such a sense of being a participant in a profane violation. The impression melted away as she focused her attention instead on something she spotted ahead. It stood not far from the wide marble steps leading up to the grand entrance of the confessor's palace. It looked like a long pole with something atop it. A long red cloth tied near the top of the shaft of the pole flew and flapped in the breeze, as if waving to them, calling for their attention, giving them all at last a destination. Emperor Jagang led the charge directly toward that pole with its red flag flying. As they raced across the lawns, she concentrated on the heat of Rusty's obedient and powerful muscles flexing beneath her, finding reassurance in her horse's familiar movements. Jensen couldn't help gazing up at the white marble columns towering above them. It was a majestic entrance, imposing, yet elegant and welcoming. This day the Imperial Order was at last to own the place where evil had for so long ruled unopposed. Emperor Jagang held his sword high, signaling the cavalry to halt. The cheering, yelling, screaming battle cries died out as tens of thousands of men all at once brought their excited horses down from a charge to a stop. It amazed her, what with so many men with weapons out, that it all happened in seconds and without carnage. Jensen patted the sweaty side of Rusty's neck before sliding down off her horse. She hit the ground among a confusion of men, mostly officers and advisors, but regular cavalry too, all swarming in to protect the Emperor. She had never been this close in among the regular soldiers before. They were intimidating as they eyed her in their midst. They all seemed impatient for an enemy to fight. The men were a filthy, grimy lot and smelled worse than their horses. For some reason, it was that suffocating, sweaty, foul stink that frightened her the most. Sebastian's hand seized her arm and pulled her close. "Are you all right?" Jensen nodded, trying to see the Emperor and what had stopped him. Sebastian, trying to see it as well, pulled her along with him as he stepped through a screen of burly officers. Seeing it was him, they made way. She and Sebastian halted when they saw the Emperor standing several paces ahead alone, his back to them, his shoulders slumped, his sword hanging from his fist at his side. It appeared that all his men were afraid to approach him. Jensen, with Sebastian quickly moving to catch up, closed the distance to reach Emperor Jagang. He stood frozen before the spear planted butt-end into the ground. He stared with those completely black eyes, as if seeing an apparition. Tied beneath the long, barbed, razor-sharp metal point of the spear, the long red cloth flapped in the otherwise complete silence. Atop the spear was a man's head. Jensen winced at the arresting sight. The gaunt head, severed cleanly at mid-neck, looked almost alive. The dark eyes, beneath a deeply hooded brow, were fixed in an unblinking stare. A dark creased cap rested halfway down the forehead. Somehow the austere cap pressed down on the head seemed to match the severe countenance of the man. Wisps of wiry hair curled out from above his ears to ruffle in the wind. It seemed as if the thin lips at any moment might give them a forbidding smile from the world of the dead. The face looked as if the man in life had been as grim as death itself. The way Emperor Jagang stood stupefied, staring at the head right before him impaled on the point of the spear, and the way not one of the thousands of men so much as coughed, had Jensen's heart hammering faster than when she had been riding Rusty at a reckless gallop. Jensen cautiously peered over at Sebastian. He, too, stood stunned. Her fingers tightened on his arm in sympathy for the look in his wide, tearful eyes. He finally leaned over to her in order to whisper in a choked voice, "Brother Narev." The shock of those two barely audible words hit Jensen like a slap. It was the great man himself, the spiritual leader of the entire old world, Emperor Jagang's friend and closest personal advisor, a man who Sebastian believed was closer to the Creator than any man who had ever been born, a man whose teachings Sebastian religiously lived by, dead, his head impaled on a spear. The Emperor reached out and pulled free a small, folded piece of paper that was stuck in the side of Brother Narev's cap. As Jensen watched Jagang's thick fingers open the carefully folded small piece of paper, it reminded her unexpectedly of the way she had unfolded the paper she had found on the Daharan soldier that fateful day she had discovered him lying at the bottom of the ravine, the day she had met Sebastian, the day before Lord Rawl's men had finally located her and killed her mother. Emperor Jagang lifted the paper out to silently read what it said. For a frightening, long time, he just stared at the paper. At last his arm lowered to his side. His chest heaved with a terrible, burgeoning wrath as he stared once more at Brother Narev's head on the end of the spear. In a smoldering voice, bitter with indignation, Jagang repeated the words from the note, just loud enough for those standing close to hear. "Compliments of Richard Rawl." The stiff wind moaned through a stand of nearby trees. No one said a word as they all waited on Emperor Jagang for direction. Jensen's nose wrinkled at a foul smell. She looked up to see the head, so perfect only moments before, beginning to putrefy before her very eyes. The flesh sagged heavily. The bottom eyelids drooped, revealing their red undersides. The jaw sank. The thin line of the mouth opened, almost looking as if the head were letting out a scream. Jensen, along with everyone else, including Emperor Jagang, took a step back as the flesh of the face decayed in sudden ghastly ruptures, revealing festering tissue beneath. The tongue swelled as the jaw dropped lower. The eyeballs sank forward out of their sockets as they shriveled. Reeking flesh fell away in clumps. What would have been long months of decomposition took place in a matter of seconds, leaving the skull beneath that creased cap grinning at them through tattered bits of hanging flesh. "It had a web of magic around it, Excellency," Sister Perdita said, almost sounding as if she were answering a question unspoken. Jensen hadn't heard her come up behind them. "The spell preserved it in that condition until you pulled the note from the cap, triggering the dissolution of the magic preserving it. Once that magic was withdrawn, the remains went through the decomposition that would ordinarily have taken place." Emperor Jagang was staring at her with cold, dark eyes. What he might be thinking, Jensen couldn't be sure, but she could see the fury building within those nightmare eyes. "It was a very complex and powerful war that preserved it until the right person touched it to pull the note free," Sister Perdita said in a quiet voice. "The ward was likely keyed to your touch, Excellency." For a long, terrifying moment, Jensen feared that Emperor Jagang might suddenly swing his sword with a wild cry and behead the woman. To the side, an officer suddenly pointed up at the Confessor's palace. "Look! It's her!"
"Dear Creator,"
Sebastian whispered as he, too, looked up and saw someone in the window. Other men yelled that they saw her, too. Jensen rose up on tiptoes, trying to see around the tall soldiers rushing forward, and the officers pointing past the reflections on the glass to the person she saw back within the dark interior. She shielded her eyes, trying to see better. Men whispered excitedly. "There!" Another officer on the other side of Jigang cried out. "Look! It's Lord Rawl! There! It's Lord Rawl!" Jensen froze from the jolt of those words. It didn't seem real. She ran the man's words through her mind again, so shocking were they to hear, that she felt she had to check again if it really was what she thought she had heard. "There!" another man yelled. "Moving down that way! It's both of them!"
"I see them!"
Jigang growled as he tracked the two fleeing figures in his black glare.
"I'd recognize that bitch in the farthest reaches of the underworld, and there, Lord Rawl is with her!"
Jensen could catch only fleeting flashes of two figures racing away past windows. Emperor Jigang sliced the air with his sword, signaling his men,
"Surround the palace so they can't escape."
He turned to his officers.
"I want the assault company to come with me, and a dozen sisters. Sister Perdita, stay with the sisters out here. Don't let anyone get by you."
His gaze sought Sebastian and Jensen. When he found them among those standing close, he fixed Jensen in his hot glare.
"If you want your chance, girl, then come with me."
Jensen realized as she and Sebastian raced away after Emperor Jigang that she had her knife clenched in her fist. Chapter 48. Close on Jigang's heels, in the shadows of towering marble columns, Jensen raced up the wide expanse of white marble steps. Sebastian's reassuring hand was on the small of her back the whole way. Fierce determination etched the faces of the savage men bounding up the steps all around her. The men of the assault company, sheathed in layers of leather armor, chainmail, and tough hides, wielded short swords, huge crescent axes, or wicked flails in one hand, while on their other arm they all carried round metal shields for protection. But the shields were also set with long center spikes to make them weapons as well. The men were even swathed with belts and straps set with sharpened studs to make grappling with them in hand-to-hand combat treacherous at best. Jensen couldn't imagine anyone with the nerve to go against such vicious men. Storming up the steps, the burly soldiers growled like animals, crashing through the carved double doors as if they were made of sticks, never checking to see if the doors might be unlocked. Jensen shielded her face with an arm as she flew through the shower of splintered wood fragments. The thunder of the men's boots echoed through the grand hall inside. Tall windows of pale blue glass set between polished white marble pillars threw slashes of light across the marble floor where the assault force stormed through. Men hooked the marble railing with big hands and swooped up the first stairway, going for the upper floors where they had seen the Mother Confessor and Lord Rawl. The sound of the soldiers' boots on stone echoed up through the high-ceilinged stairwell decorated with ornate moldings. Jensen couldn't help being wildly excited that this might be the day it all ended. She was but one mighty thrust of her knife from freedom. She was the one to do it. She was the only one who could. She was invincible. The fact that she was going to kill a man was only dimly important to her. As she raced up the steps, she thought only about the horror Lord Rawl had brought to her life and the lives of others. Filled with righteous rage, she intended to end it once and for all. Sebastian, racing right along with her, had his sword out. A dozen of the big brutes were in front of her, led by Emperor Jigang himself. Behind were hundreds more of the grim assault force, all determined to deliver merciless violence to the enemy. Between her and those charging soldiers behind, Sisters of the Light ran up the steps without weapons, but for their gift. At the top of the flight of stairs, they all bunched to a halt on a slick oak floor. Emperor Jigang looked both ways down the hall. One of the panting sisters pushed through the men. Excellency, this makes no sense.
His only answer was a glare as he caught his breath before his gaze moved, searching for his prey.
Excellency, the sister insisted, if more quietly, why would two people so important to their cause be alone here in the palace? Alone without even a guard at the door? It doesn't make sense. They would not be here alone.
Jensen, as much as she wanted Lord Rawl under her knife, had to agree. It made no sense.
Who says they are alone? Jigang asked. Do you sense any conjuring of magic?
He was right, of course. They might go through a door and encounter a surprise of 1,000 swords waiting for them, but that chance seemed remote. It seemed more logical that a protecting force, if there was one here, would not have wanted to allow them to all get inside.
No, the sister answered. I sense no magic. But that doesn't mean it can't be called in an instant. Excellency, you are endangering yourself needlessly. This is dangerous to go chasing after such people when there are so many things about it that make no sense.
She stopped short of calling it foolish. Jigang, seeming to pay minimal attention to the sister as she spoke, signaled to his men, sending a dozen racing off in each direction down the hall. A snap of his fingers and a quick gesture sent a sister with each group.
You're thinking like a Green Army officer, Jigang said to the sister. The Mother Confessor is far more sly and 10 times as cunning as you give her credit for. She is smarter than to think in such simple terms. You've seen some of the things she's pulled off. I'll not let her get away with this one.
Then why would she and Lord Rawl be here alone? Jensen asked when she saw that the sister feared to speak up further. Why would they allow themselves to be so vulnerable?
Where better to hide than in an empty city? Jigang asked. An empty palace? Any guards would tip us to their presence.
But why would they even hide here of all places?
Because they know that their cause is in jeopardy. They're cowards and want to evade capture. When people are desperate and in panic, they often run for their home to hide in a place they know.
Jigang hooked a thumb behind his belt as he analyzed the layout of halls around him.
This is her home. In the end, it's only their own hides that they think of, not that of their fellow man.
Jensen couldn't help herself from pressing, even as Sebastian was pulling her back, urging her to be quiet. She threw her arm out toward the expanse of windows.
Why would they allow themselves to be seen then? If they're trying to hide, as you suggest, then why would they let themselves be spotted?
They're evil.
He leveled his terrible eyes at her.
They wanted to watch me find Brother Narev's remains. They wanted to see me discover their profaned and heinous butchery of a great man. They simply couldn't resist such sick delight.
But
let's go, he called to his men.
As the Emperor charged off, Jensen seized Sebastian's arm in exasperation, holding him back.
Do you really think it could be them? You're a strategist. Do you honestly think that any of this makes sense?
He noted which way the Emperor went, followed by a flood of men charging after him, then turned a heated glare on her.
Jensen, you wanted Lord Rawl. This may be your chance.
But I don't see why.
Don't argue with me! Who are you to think you know better?
Sebastian, I
don't have all the answers. That's why we're in here.
Jensen swallowed past the lump in her throat.
I'm only worried for you, Sebastian, and Emperor Jigang. I don't want your heads to end up on the end of a pike, too.
In war, you must act, not only by careful plan, but when you see an opening. This is what war is like. In war, people sometimes do stupid or even seemingly crazy things. Maybe she and Lord Rawl have simply done something stupid. You have to take advantage of an enemy's mistakes. In war, the winner is often the one who attacks no matter what and presses any advantage. There isn't always time to figure everything out.
Jensen could only stare up into his eyes. Who was she, a nobody, to try to tell an emperor's strategist how to fight a war?
Sebastian, I was only...
He snatched a fistful of her dress and yanked her close. His red face twisted in anger. Are you really going to throw away what might turn out to be your only chance to avenge your mother's murder? How would you feel if Richard Rohl really is crazy enough to be here, or if he has some plan we can't even conceive of, and you just stand here arguing about it?" Jensen was stunned. Could he be right? What if he was?
"There they are!"
came a cry from far down the hall. It was Jagang's voice. She saw him among a distant clot of his soldiers, pointing his sword as they all scrambled to turn a corner.
"Get them! Get them!"
Sebastian seized her arm, spun her around, and shoved her on down the hall. Jensen caught her footing and ran with wild abandon. She felt ashamed for arguing with people who knew what war was all about when she didn't. Who did she think she was, anyway? She was a nobody. Great men had given her a chance, and she stood around on the doorstep of greatness arguing about it. She felt a fool. As they ran past tall windows, the very windows where the Mother Confessor and Lord Rohl had only moments before been seen, something outside caught her eye. A collective groan went up from beyond the panes of glass. Jensen slid to a stop, her hands out, gathering up Sebastian to stop him too.
"Look!"
Sebastian glanced impatiently toward the others racing away, then stepped closer to look out the window as she shook her hand, frantically pointing. Tens of thousands of cavalrymen had formed up into a huge battle line out across the palace grounds, stretching all the way down the hill, appearing to charge the enemy in a great battle. They all brandished swords, axes, and pikes as they rushed as a single mass, yelling blood-curdling battle cries. Jensen watched in stunned silence, seeing nothing yet for them to fight. Still the men, raising a great cry, ran forward with weapons raised. She expected to see them run down the hill toward something out beyond the wall. Perhaps they could see an enemy approaching that she could not from her angle up in the palace. But then, in the middle of the grounds, with a mighty shock all along the line, there was a resounding crash as they met the wall of an enemy that was not there. Jensen couldn't believe her eyes. Her mind groped to reconcile it, but the terrifying sight outside made no sense. She wouldn't have believed what she was seeing were it not for the shock of sudden carnage. Bodies, men, and horse were rent open. Horses reared. Others went down, tumbling over broken legs. Men's heads and arms spun through the air as if lopped off by sword and axe. All along the line, blood filled the air. Men were driven back by blows that exploded through their bodies. The dark and grimy force of Imperial Order cavalry was suddenly bright red in the muted daylight. The slaughter was so horrific that the green grass was left red in a swath down the hill. Where there had been battle cries, now there were piercing screams of appalling suffering and pain, as men, hacked to pieces, limbs severed, mortally wounded, tried to drag themselves to safety. Out in that field there was no such place. There was only confusion and death. Horrified, Jensen looked up into Sebastian's baffled expression. Before either could say a word, the building shook as if struck by lightning. Following close on the heels of the thunderous boom, the hall filled with billowing smoke. Flames boiled toward them. Sebastian snatched her arm and dove with her into a side hall opposite the window. The blast roared down the hall, driving chunks of wood, whole chairs, and flaming drapery before it. Fragments of glass and metal shrieked by, slicing through walls. As soon as the smoke and flames had rolled past, Jensen and Sebastian, both with weapons to hand, raced out into the hall, running in the direction Emperor Jagang had gone. Whatever questions or objections she had were forgotten. Such questions were suddenly irrelevant. It only mattered that, somehow, Richard Rohl was there. She had to stop him. This was finally her chance. The voice, too, urged her on. This time she didn't try to put the voice down. This time she let it fan the flames of her burning lust for vengeance. This time she let it fill her with the overwhelming need to kill.